Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church.
Thank you.
don't forget to pray, and that's why we're here, saints. That's why we are in studio today, to remind the church, don't forget to pray. Don't forget to call upon the name of the Lord. He tells us that if we call upon him, he will answer us. If we call upon him, he will come to our rescue. If we call upon him, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Prayer. P-R-A-Y. Prayer. Prayer. It is our lifeline to God. Now, there'll be people who will, like Marilyn Hickey, trick you into thinking if you have a need, sow a seed. But that's not what God's word says. God's word says if you have a need, to your knees. See, that isn't that better? Marilyn Hickey, who's after your money, along with people like Rod Parsley and Paula White and Benny Hinn, those kinds of shysters, those kinds of con people will tell you, if you have a need, sow a seed. But I, the radio shepherd, will tell you, if you have a need, drop to your knees. See, it's not about did you think to sow. That's not, no. The hymn is not, did you think to sow? The hymn is entitled, Did You Think to Pray? You cannot get anything from God by giving God money. You just can't. You can't show me one scripture in the Bible where you get anything by God by giving God money. Giving your offerings to the Lord is not a trade-off with God. See, giving your money to the Lord is simply an act of worship. It's you testifying that God has all of me, including my heart, that my heart is not reserved for mammon. I don't have the disease of the love of money. That's that when you give to God, is you're testifying. And by the way, Jesus says when you give, don't blow trumpets. You see, giving is a thing between you and God. The moment you get on that $1,000 line, everybody knows what you're giving. Everybody knows what you're giving the moment you get on the $1,000 line, or when they see that they have no more people that they can bamboozle for $1,000, then they go down. Okay, now those who have 500. Then when you get up and you get on the line, everybody knows what you're giving. Well, Jesus said, when you give, don't let anybody know. Don't even let be as discreet as this. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You're supposed to give in secret because, you see, giving is not an act of showcasing. Giving is an act of worship. It's between you and God. You and God. You and God. And there's nothing you can get from God with money. Nothing. Nothing. Well, doesn't the Bible says, and I will open up the windows of heaven? Yes, but that has to do with the Palestinian covenant. See, God gave the people the land of Palestine. The land of Palestine is the name Palestine is derived from the Philistines. The former tenants were the Philistines and the Canaanites. And God gave the children the land of Palestine, the land of Canaan, the land of the Canaanites. expelled those wicked people, and he placed his people in that land. And as stewards, they had this covenant with God that if they obeyed the Lord, if they followed the Lord, if they loved the Lord, if they did not follow other gods, then he would allow them to stay on the land. So all of this giving and all of this that the children of Israel did was to show God, to prove to God that he had their hearts. But we don't impress God, and we can't buy God with our giving. Just can't do it. I can show you time and time again in the Bible where people try to bribe God, and God says, I won't have it. I can show you time and time again in the Bible where people tried to buy true ministers of God. Wasn't it Simon Magnus who said to Peter and John in Acts chapter 8, here's this money, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what did Peter and John say to Simon? Thy money perish with thee, for you thought that you can buy the gift of God with money. Over and over and over again, we see in the Bible that you cannot impress God with money. You don't listen to Marilyn Hickey, and don't listen to the other wolves within her fraternity. If you have a need, don't sow a seed. That's not God. That you, if you're having a need and you're sowing a seed, you worship Baal. But if you have a need, drop to your knees. To your knees before the God who can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. So the question is, did you think to pray? Did you think to pray? Did you think? Did you turn to the Lord? Did you seek his face? Did you turn to the one who has all power? Did you turn to him who loves you? Loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son that you might be saved and be made part of his family. This is why you have the spirit of adoption. You have the Holy Ghost that cries within you, Abba, Father. So I ask you again, my brothers and sisters, did you think to pray? Did you think? Did you think? You know, Hannah, the woman that we're going to be studying for the next couple of weeks, because I want to show you, I want to do a study, and I don't know how long we're going to go with this. It depends on God and when he tells me to stop, but we're going to do this series on Hannah starting today. And here is a woman by the name of Hannah, and she had mess in her house. She had mess because God purposely shut up her womb. It was God who, and I'm going to use street term, it was God who jacked up Hannah. She was married to a man named Elkanah, and he wanted children. She couldn't provide him children. So the Mosaic law allowed a man who had no seed to get a second wife. Well, Elkanah used that loophole to bring in another woman into the house. And her name was Peninnah. And Peninnah was having babies every other year. She was having babies like rabbits. And here is Hannah. Here is Hannah, the first wife, the primary wife. And she has no children. Now that must be two women in one kitchen, two women under one roof, two women sharing a husband. One woman giving this husband children. He's coming home and he's embracing Peninnah's children. And Hannah, his wife, had no children. Now, is that not a soap opera type of existence? So what did Hannah do? What did Hannah do? Oh, she sewed. She sewed, but it got her nowhere. Then she went to praying. Then she went to praying. Then Hannah went to what? To praying. She sowed, but she got nothing. She prayed, and she got answers to prayer. Because God can do exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or even think or even imagine. So I want to do this series based on Hannah. And I want to show you in the weeks to come, how Hannah prayed. Because this song, Did You Think to Pray? If you listen to the lyrics, this song is about Hannah. She had mess in her house. Her husband, using the Bible, now because the law of Moses is part of the Bible. It's God's word. And God said, if you have a wife who can't produce children for you, I will give you an exemption. I will let you have a second wife that can. Now, both of these women are living under one roof. If Hannah had messed, the word of God allowed it. And the Bible even goes further. It says, and God shut up her womb. God did not allow her to have children. It was God who jacked her up. See, God is working behind it. Maybe you're jacked up. Maybe you're going through. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're all messed up and you got mess in your house and you got a soap opera in your house and your house is just like The Days of Our Lives or The Young and the Restless, whatever soap operas are still out there. See, maybe your house is a soap opera. With drama, drama. Maybe your house, what goes on under your roof, is a novella. Now you're not going to get out of your situation by sowing. You're going to get out of your situation by praying. And here is a prayer warrior. Her name is Hannah. Hannah is fighting a battle in her home. Hannah is losing her husband. She's losing her kitchen. She's losing her mind. She's losing everything. To a woman that the word of God allowed to come in, a woman named Peninnah, a woman with a fertile womb who can push out babies every year. And Hannah is jacked up by God. Yet, after much sowing with no results, she turns to praying. Did you think to pray? Now, I want to play this hymn again. I want you to listen to the words. Because like Hannah, maybe you have a Peninnah in your life that you need to forgive. See, you may have mess in your house. That's why these hymns we select for these broadcasts are so critical. They match the theme of the day. They actually match the theme of the day. And saints, Hannah had a mess in her house. She had a mess in her house. And she's praying for God to clean up the mess. Hannah came to a prayer meeting because she's asking God to handle some things in her house. But God, in all of his wisdom and in all of his providence, Hannah goes to God's house, but she's praying for her house. Think about this. Hannah leaves her house, which is a soap opera. She leaves her house and she comes to God's house. And she prays that God will fix the mess in her house. But God, who does exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think, not only comes to the rescue of her house, but God also has a soap opera going on in his house. God also has a telenovela in his house. God has drama in his house. How do we know that? Well, Eli and his sons are polluting God's house. They're stealing the offerings. They're going out with women. These are two, Eli's sons are two married guys, and they're going out with women in the church. So not only does Hannah have drama in her house, but God has drama in his house. And Hannah comes, and she's focused. She's just thinking, I got to come to God. I got to have God take care of the mess in my house. And she forgets to pray for God's house. But God does exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. So God grants her petition, but with her petition granted, God takes care of her house, and he takes care of his house. You see, saints, did you think to pray? Did you think to pray? Let's listen to this. This song is a sermon. Listen to this. I know I'm old school, but put up with me a little bit. Put up with me. If you put up with me a little bit, Radio Shepherd will teach you some things. Just put up with me. Listen, I'm old school. I'm like from the days of Noah. I'm so old school. I belong in the antediluvian period. I belong with those folk who existed before the flood. But listen to this. Let this song, listen to the words, because this is Hannah's mess. This is Hannah's mess, and perhaps it is your mess. And perhaps your mess has so consumed you that you're not thinking straight, and you're only asking God for you, but you have forgotten to ask God for you and for him. Remember, as prayer warrior saints, as intercessors, as men and women of God who watch and pray and who pray without ceasing, we're not only praying for us, but we also have the obligation as watchmen to pray for the things needed in God's house. It's not just coming for what you need in your house. It's also to pray for what God needs in his house. And God needs some pastors right now. We have a shortage of pastors because mainly what we have in our pulpits are wolves. We have a shortage of true deacons and deaconesses. We have a shortage of trustees, men and women who can handle bank accounts and not steal. We're talking about church bank accounts now. We need trustees, men and women who are not going to rubber stamp everything the pastor says. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we, the house of God, we're just in need of some special things. We need some serious teachers in God's house, serious Sunday school teachers. Sunday school needs to be rebuilt. We need a powerful prayer service, prayer ministry. That needs to be rebuilt. See, it's not just your house. It's not just your family budget for 2016. It's not just your kids' college tuition. It's not just your car insurance. It's not just your mortgage payments. It's not just your health. It's not just your mental stability. It's not just your retirement fund. It goes beyond that. It's your house and God's house, and many of us are so consumed with the pressures of life like Hannah that all we can think about is just our house, our situation, our drama, our novella, our soap opera. But there's a soap opera going on in God's house too. Did you think to pray? Listen to this. Listen to this song. Listen to this hymn. Soak it in. I'll be back right after the hymn.
Earl, you left your room this morning.
now, saints, we do everything in the church, but, and that's why we are a cursed people. That's why we spin our wheels. That's why the church gains no traction. That's why we're going nowhere fast. Because when it comes to meetings, we're always having meetings. When it comes to planning, we're always planning. Churches have 15, 20 planning committees. We're gonna plan the church anniversary. We're gonna plan the pastor's birthday. We're gonna plan the first lady's a toenail clipping event. We're gonna it's nauseating. We have planning committees to go on a shopping trip to Maryland. We're gonna shop and we're gonna eat crabs. And the buses are packed. No one thinks to pray. No one thinks to pray. And God is listening to what comes out of his house, and he's seeing, and he's wanting to see who's showing up. And God sees, and he hears nothing. Because we do everything but pray. We can raise money. We can do banquets. We're experts at doing banquets. We're super proficient when it comes to planning all kinds of trips. When we do plays, tickets all sold out. You put on a play in the church, and you know years ago plays were free. Now you got to sell tickets. And the church gives you each person 24. Go hustle. Go sell these 25 tickets. And there you are. You're out in the street hustling to sell 25 tickets. When plays in the church used to be for free. Now it's another stream of income. Saints, we're doing everything but praying, and that's why we are in trouble. This is why the church is asleep at the wheel. And then we wonder why. Then we're scratching our heads and we can't figure out. We just can't figure out why there's no more deliverances, why there's no more healings. You know why there's no more deliverances? Because now, if you want your child off of drugs, so $1,000. That's what they tell you now. You want your child off of drugs? Give the Lord $1,000. In the old days, you wanted your child off of drugs, you just got a hold of the altar. That was the old. That's what the church mothers used to tell me. Son, what do you need? Well, mother, I've been unemployed now a month. Well, go get a hold of the altar. See, those church, now we have church mothers. Now we have church mothers who run bordellos, who run whore houses. That's the kind of church mothers we have now. We don't have those old kind of church mothers that told you, hey, lower that skirt. That skirt is too high. Or tone it down with the makeup. Or you, young man, watch your language. And you, young man, don't participate in fornication. Those are the kind of church mothers I had when I was growing up. I had church mothers that would look at you and like an X-ray machine. They would look you up and down and say, where were you last night? This is Sunday now. Here you are, you're traipsing into church on Sunday, and you were hanging out Saturday somewhere where you weren't supposed to be. And here comes the church mother like an X-ray machine. Son, where were you yesterday? Where were you yesterday? And there you are, you're spilling the beans. Because those mothers were prophetic. And they would tell you, go get a hold of the altar. And go give God your iniquities and your sins. We don't have that anymore. Now we have church mothers that say, oh, I love the fact. that my pastor and the first gentleman, that's right, I saw a church mother on TV, church mother now, that's what they announced her, on the Lexi show. Church mother, tell us, what do you think about the pastor who's a man and the first gentleman? Oh, I love them both. Here's a church mother approving of same-sex relations between the pastor and the first gentleman. Applauding two sodomites. Saints, there's a lot of drama going on in God's house. There's a lot of soap opera nonsense going on in God's house. There's novellas going on in God's house, not just in your house, but in God's house. And how do we fix that? How do we fix that? By praying. Did we think to pray? Now, let's go to 1 Samuel. I'm going to do a whole series. I'm going to do a whole series on Hannah the prayer warrior. Do a whole series on Hannah. And when the Lord says to stop, we'll stop. But we're going to follow the life story of Hannah, and we're going to see how she got what she needed for her house and how she got what she needed for God's house just by praying. Just by praying. Because Hannah reminds us, even Hannah tells us, did you think to pray? Hannah, from the pages of Scripture, poses the question to us today. Did you think to pray? So let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to go there. We're going to read the scriptures. And then we're going to ponder and meditate. Let's listen to 1 Samuel 1, verse 1 and following.
The Bible, King James Version, 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb.
There you have it. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Now notice, the man Elkanah has two wives. The law of Moses allows him to have two wives. His preferred wife, his first wife, his one and only love is Hannah. Yet she can't bear children. So this man can't leave the earth without leaving seed behind. So the law of Moses allows him to get a second wife, a childbearing wife. Her name is Peninnah. And she's got children. And they go up to worship to the house of the Lord. And to Peninnah, it says, and to Peninnah and to her children and to her sons and daughters, notice plural, sons and daughters, not just one son, not one daughter, no. But Peninnah had sons and daughters. And to them, when they went up to the house of the Lord, he gave them portions that they may give offerings to the Lord. And then it says in verse 5, and to Hannah he gave a worthy portion. In other words, he gave her extra offering money, extra tithes, extra first fruits, extra everything. And Hannah gave it, but that did not open up her womb. Giving did not open up Hannah's womb. Notice, Elkanah gave her what? A worthy portion, a huge amount. And Hannah gave all of that to the Lord, but that did not get God activated. Notice how the false prophets say, if you wanna get God activated, activate your faith and sow this seed. What a bunch of liars. Hannah gave a worthy portion and it did not move God on our behalf. Read verse 5. But unto Hannah, he, Elkanah, gave a worthy portion. And she gave it. Yet, the verse ends, but the Lord has shut up her womb. God jacked her up on purpose. Then in verse number 6 it says, and her adversary also provoked her sore, made her life miserable, taunted her, laughed at her, made fun of her under the same roof in the same kitchen. Can you imagine that kind of an existence, that kind of soap opera living? For what happened? What happened? And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, to make her angry, to make her depressed, because the Lord has shut. Everybody knew that God had jacked up Hannah. God, how could you do this to me? God, how can this be? God, how can God? I don't understand the mysteries of life, Lord. I don't know why I lost my job, why I'm losing my house, why they've repossessed the car. Lord, I don't understand. I'm your child. I worship you. I come to your house. I give worthy portions. And yet, Lord, I'm jacked up. Well, God has a plan. God has a plan of forcing you or forcing me into becoming prayer warriors. We're going to leave it there. We're going to let you ponder on this. We'll leave it there. We're coming back next week and the week after that, and we're going to explore this theme. We're going to explore it. We're going to meditate upon it. God's going to give us some answers. So tune in next week as we launch this new series. Well, God bless you, saints. I love you in Jesus. Pray for me. Pray for Radio Shepherd. Pray for Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. Pray. And if you have prayer requests, email them to me on the email address you see there in the opening remarks. I love you in Jesus. Don't forget to tune in today to Daily Manna from Heaven. And tomorrow, don't forget to tune in to the Inspirational Psalmist broadcast. God bless.
Yeah.